This is A Deeper Listen from KEXP. It's the show where we talk with musicians about the ideas and experiences that shape their music. I'm Emily Fox. And if you found this podcast because you are subscribed to the Sound and Vision feed, note that Sound and Vision is still a radio show that airs from 7:30 to 9 a.m. Pacific on KEXP 90.3 FM in Seattle, 92.7 in the Bay Area, and streaming worldwide at kexp.org. This podcast is the go-to place for in-depth artist conversations. And this next conversation features the artist behind this song, which has been the most played song on KEXP so far this year. It's Salt Cathedral, a duo from Bogota, Colombia, that's now based in New York City. It's made up of
Juliana Ronderos. I go by Juli.
And yeah, my name is Nicolas Lozada. I go by Nico as well.
While they grew up a few blocks away from each other in Bogota, Colombia, they didn't meet each other until they both moved to Boston to study jazz composition at Berklee College of Music.
We kind of knew of each other at some point. This was like before smartphones in college. And Nico had added me on Skype. I don't know why. We were talking on Skype and he was trying to ask me out. This was maybe 12 years ago. We dated very briefly. We were too intense for each other, I think.
Yeah, I hear you're both two Leos, which is like both two strong personalities.
We literally have our birthdays one day away from each other.
Oh, really?
Yeah, basically.
The band emerged as the world was isolated during the pandemic. Salt Cathedral's debut album was released in May of 2020. About half the songs on the record were sung in Spanish. Salt Cathedral released their second full-length album in March. It's sung all in English and covers themes of screen addiction, climate change, and if we should bring more children into this world. Here's my conversation with Juli and Nico about the record. We'll hear from Nico later in the conversation. So the song KXP has been playing the most off this new album is the song Terminal Woes. Tell me more about the message behind this track.
I kind of call it a protest song. It's the fears of climate change. I think, you know, in the last recent years, and I think after the pandemic happened, there's been kind of this shift of seeing ourselves as a part of humanity and having like more consideration for the rest of humanity. And this song came from that upsetness of thinking like we're not taking care of our planet. As a woman, you know, in my 30s, thinking, should I have children? Like, is that, should we bring more children into this world? Because it's a difficult world and it's warming up and there's no climate justice. And so I think this song was me putting that into words and saying, this corporate greed is making things not go as fast as they should be going because people can like carbon offset, which they shouldn't even be able to do. And then also I remember reading something about land in the Congolese basin being auctioned off. And I was just like, this is terrifying. You know, after the Amazon, that's like one of the most important places for the planet and also farmland in the Amazon. So it was kind of like this conscious, like, what are we doing? We need to do better for our future children. And that's where Terminal Woes came from.
You also kind of hear that theme a little bit in this opening track, Before It's Gone.
You think about the future, but it happens all the time. Why are you afraid you gotta live before it's gone?
Of just like, should I bring a child in this world? Because I feel like so much of this album is not just like evaluating where we've come, but also, you know, where we're going. And so this idea, you know, I think, as you said, you know, like I'm in my 30s,
I think, you know, should I bring a child in this world? And, you know, I think you and I are probably very similar in age. And, you know, I'm in my 30s and I just remember like this shift happening in my late 20s, like going into my 30s, then my 30s happening and being like all of a sudden this like switch in my brain where like I couldn't stop thinking about the biological clock timelines, you know, like all this
stuff.
Tell
me about it.
Okay. Yeah. So you've been there. And, you know, I'm curious, like through making this album, writing some of these songs, like what your thought process has been around this idea of like, yeah, should I bring a child into this world?
Well, that's a really interesting question because I think that a lot of making this record was reckoning with like how there's so many messed up things, but on the other hand, there is so much joy and beauty in life and connection. It's like, this is precious, it's beautiful, and it's in danger, but it's beautiful. And so obviously it's a back and forth. I mean, I think I could be a cynic and be like, I won't bring a child, but I still haven't made a full decision. But I think that there is something beautiful in the connection of like motherhood, and I would like to be a mother at some point. So I'm not closed off because I think the world is such a horrible place that it shouldn't happen. I just think we need to always find and embrace the good things. Like, how can we be better? You know, eat more plant-based, always refill my water bottle. It's small things, you know, but it does make a difference. Talk about it, create conversations around it, because maybe the world can shift to a better place and things can get better.
Yeah. I mean, I ended up having a child. I now have a 20-month-old. And but what I find interesting is once you become a parent, and I'm not like, I don't want to feel like I'm preaching here, like you should make your own decision. But what I find interesting is I feel like when you become a parent, and I just want to share this in context of this conversation of like, you observe the world around you, but when you have a kid, your world becomes small, your world becomes the child. So much energy goes into keeping this child alive, raising it, and like trying, you know, seeing so much development, especially in that first year or two, happen. And what's so beautiful is just seeing so much joy emit from them. Like, again, like this childlike joy that you just want to capture and put in a bottle and just say, please, please don't leave that feeling, you know? Like, just so, like, our eye contact, or, you know, before they can talk, like your facial expressions and this connection that you can have before they can even speak. And then they start to speak, and there's just so much joy in that. And again, like, your world becomes small, but it's so joyous and beautiful and so simple that like everything around you in the world that you feel like is so terrible, you realize that it doesn't always affect you. Like, yes, it's happening in the world, it's, yes, it's terrible, but you create a new world around you that is very beautiful and joyous. So I just want
that's truly beautiful. I mean, I do wonder, do you feel like any fear for your like child, like when they will be an adult?
Well, let's get into that, because I'm thinking about this in your album. So, you know, you write about screen addiction in your song Cell Phone. And, you know, especially the line stood out to me: are we addicted, barely alive, hyperconnected, living a lie, lonely as ever, numbing our minds?
Are we addicted, barely alive, hyperconnected, living a lie, lonely as ever, numbing our minds?
And when I read that in context of, you know, the thoughts that you're having around children, that's one of my biggest fears, is like social media. And when my child, my daughter specifically, is going to grow older, like, you know, she's in this such innocent state right now where everything is beautiful and joyous and we are each other's worlds, you know, but she's going to grow out of that, right? She's going to, she's going to discover the world. She's going to realize that not everything is perfect and rainbows and, you know, deer in the backyard and whatever. And, you know, she's going to be exposed to the real world, but is also going to be exposed to this like alternative world on screens. And like, she's 20 months old and we have like hardly ever done any screen time at all with her. But I look at these teenagers, specifically teenage girls, that are living this alternate reality in social media on a screen. And I think about the pandemic and how, like, I remember seeing my pediatrician and the pediatrician being like, please avoid social media, avoid screen time. Like, I have a teenager who's in the hospital right now because of anorexia. Her heart is barely beating. There was so much isolation in the pandemic. And I can't, you know, I think about those teenagers, teenage girls very specifically, that are looking at all these images on the screen and comparing themselves and feeling isolated from the rest of the world, but, you know, feeling that pressure to, you know, be this highlight reel that they see. And, you know, I just feel like there's so much more pressure these days for teenagers because of social media. And I think about cigarettes, you know, how like cigarettes used to be everywhere, like in bars, in restaurants, in airplanes, in offices, like you couldn't get away from it. And that's kind of what like social media is now. But I'm hoping that social media and screens like become like cigarettes where we realize it's terrible for us.
And
it starts leaving. But I don't know, you know, and so... Yes, I am afraid for the world that she will learn about and be exposed to. But I just hope that there's a course correction there. And I think about your song, Cell Phone, and I just hope that maybe we can get over it. And I'm just curious what you think about that.
Well, that's really interesting. The statistics for female teenagers in general are terrifying. And I've read them, and I know Jonathan Haidt talks a lot about this, and like depression and anxiety. And it's like, they've grown into this world. I was thinking about my parents, and I was like, they don't use social media. I was like, if I had grown up without phones or social media, like I wouldn't use it. And my boyfriend looks at me and says, you didn't grow up with that.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, we didn't. Yeah.
Like it was just kind of mind blowing. And so I hope that there is some sort of course correction. I try to look into it a lot to see like what kind of things can be done. Cause obviously I've explored, and I think the only way that could happen would be either a social transformation, which I don't see happening, or regulation, like government regulation for like advertising. Cause these things are made to be so damn addictive that it's kind of hard to fight it on your own. So what I think is, and that's kind of what I say in that same song, Cell Phone, I say, but I don't want to though. I just want to be my lover's arm. And I want to see the sun, cause the sun never gets old like nature.
But I don't want to though. I just want to be in nature in the sun and never gets old.
So to me, it's like replacing. It's like, what do we connect with? And like for you as a parent, it's like, that's incredible that you haven't shown her like any screens or anything. We need to feed the spaces that give us better things than what screens give us. Because trying to just not do it for the sake of not doing it is very difficult. So it's like reading books, watching full movies, being in nature, listening, just looking at a tree. Like the normal, like going back to these things. But it's terrifying. And what you were saying, there's this, you just kind of said these words that were the lyrics of another song on the record, but I don't think you noticed. And it's Empty Machine.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that next.
It says, I am not a number. I will feed my hunger.
Superficial error. I don't want to care about my body image. Perfection eludes me. I am not a number. I will feed my hunger.
Talking about like eating disorders. It's like I've always like felt that I'm like too big and like trying to be a woman in like pop or indie music. It's hard, and I've never spoken about it, but in this song, it's like I've come to terms to be like, I don't need to like, you know, be counting my calories. That's like really toxic. And I do say I don't want the pressure of hearing them say lift this and tuck this and face tune my cheeks, like that app that makes your, you know, your face look different. It's a struggle, I think. If it's a struggle for me, I can't even imagine for someone who's grown up in it. But I really hope that, like, I do think that culturally and in general, we're on the verge of something. It's the end of something with music, too, with streaming, with attention economy, with where art is. And I really hope that something kind of shifts at some point. I know I've had a lot of conversations around it, and I'm hoping that something changes for this future generation, for your daughter, so that your daughter can grow up in a world that feels like different, you know, where she's not just addicted, where she can live more fully and more deep.
You say your favorite lyric on this album comes from the track called Thinking, where you say, are we getting good at life?
What is love? What is love? Are we getting good at life?
It's a good question to ask. Are we getting good at life? And what does getting good at life mean for you? And do you think you're currently good at it?
What do you want to say?
I want to answer that one because because the thing is that question is, I was thinking about it because I'm currently reading this book of Murakami and Seiji Ozawa. And the joy of reading the book, listening, they talk about music and how Seiji was the Boston Symphony Orchestra director. And he talks about the joy of playing and the joy of directing. And Murakami, how he writes with a lot of joy. And I think sometimes I was thinking, okay, I just have to do things, but I need to enjoy it more. You know what I mean? I need to have more fun in the sense. I just need to enjoy it because...
It's like Marie Kondo mentality. Does it bring you joy?
Yeah. I think something, are you good in life? It's just like, it's going to happen. Life is going to happen. Every day is going to happen. But at the end, you have to enjoy it. And I think that's something also maybe very Latino, that they turn like difficult things into salsa songs, into upbeat things. And yeah. I think we come from that tradition of like anything that is very heavy, everything will tap into something very positive and something that will transcend the negativity. And I think that's very Latino in our music also. There's this vitality that gives you this joy despite the difficulties, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to think that I'm getting better at life. I don't know if good. But yeah, that's definitely the question. And it goes back to all the other themes on the record because it's, you know, it's not just the record. It's like my life and it's our lives. And yeah, I try to get better. And then sometimes, you know, it's like it dips and it's like, oh, I'm actually not getting better at this. I'm getting worse because this week, you know, I was on my phone or I didn't push myself or I'm not feeling great. But I think overall that, yeah, I'm getting a little better in the sense that I have more assertiveness with the things that I want, with the things that I want to give attention to, because I think attention has become incredibly important in this world where, you know how they say if you're not paying for a product, like you are the product, you're being sold and your attention is being sold. So I think when we choose to put our attention to certain things, we get better because what Nico's saying, we can find joy in the things we're doing.
KEXP, we're all about music discovery and finding new music. And so I'm looking for a music recommendation from you both. What is a song that you think everyone should listen to?
Bueno, I'm going to go for a classic that I've been listening for the past 3 months and it's giving me a lot. It's from the Patti Smith album Horses. And I love Land, Horses, Land of Thousand Dances, and La Merde. It's an incredible 9 minutes and 25 seconds of glory. I love it. I'm going back into my New York. I've been living here for 10 years. And so listening to Patti Smith again and re-listening to her in the streets is really incredible.
I'm going to recommend an album that for me is a classic, but is not a very well-known album or artist. And the artist is called Hanne Hukelberg, and she's a Norwegian singer. And this album is called Little Things. And this was the first record. I got this record as a burnt CD, probably in 2007, in Colombia. And it changed my life. It changed the way I saw music. And it's called Little Things. And the music is so intricate. She comes from a jazz background. It's so beautiful and beautifully made. And that concept of little things is kind of what I spoke about previously, where like it always made me think of like the little things. And it's sonically, it's beautiful. The lyrics are beautiful. And I think more people should know about it. So I'm happy to recommend that album.
Drink some wine, a single night, mess up the yard, steal a man, a rapist's love, then throw it away. And she became what she tried to avoid. She said, do now as I say, darling, not as I do. See the way I play, kid, not do as I do. Do 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 do, not as I do.
was my conversation with Juli Ronderos and Nico Losada of Salt Cathedral. Their new album, Before It's Gone, was released on March 22nd. Coming up on the next episode of A Deeper Listen, we'll hear from Chad Yubovich of the LA-based band Meat Bodies. He'll talk about how emerging from a medically induced coma helped him finish an album that had been sitting dormant for years.
So then after all the stuff happened, pandemic, my health issues, I got out of the hospital, all this stuff. I'm sitting there and I'm like listening to it with fresh ears, fresh brain.
Yeah.
You know, I'm back. I didn't die. Could have died, but I didn't.
We'll hear about the events that led up to the coma and about Meat Body's latest album called Flora Ocean Tiger Bloom. That's next time on A Deeper Listen. And before we go, I have a favor to ask. Could you please take a minute or two and subscribe to this podcast feed, rate it, and review it? I'd love some help in spreading the word about A Deeper Listen, and those little things go a long way in helping me do that. You can also help financially support the show by donating $6 a month at kexp.org/deeper. KEXP is a publicly funded radio station. Listener support makes up the majority of our budget so we can do what we do. So again, you can give at kexp.org/deeper. That's the show today. I'm Emily Fox, and thanks for taking a deeper listen.